Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Friend and Peter Stuyvesant, was written by Irv Tunick and is presented in observance of the 300th anniversary of the Flushing Remonstrance, which is being commemorated this week by the issuance of a special 3-cent stamp by the United States government. Peter Stuyvesant scrawled his name on a parchment, scratched his nose, yawned behind his hand, and said,
Sheriff, bring in the prisoner, John Baum.
Bring in John Baum.
John Baum.
John Baum.
Doff your hat.
Not to any man.
I said take it off.
Not by my will.
What is it, man? Are you stupid or stubborn?
I am neither. I am merely a man who respects God and is humble only before God. Now, it would hardly be right to say that it all started with John Bound's hat, although the hat enters the story in more than a minor capacity. Rather, it started with the hanging of the placard on the wall of a tavern in Flushing, Long Island. That was Christmas Eve, 1657.
Young man. Would you have the kindness to do an old man a favor?
What do you want?
The placard you just nailed to the wall, what does it say?
Can't you read?
English, yes. But I perceive that placard to be composed in that strange mixture of baboon babbling and moose mate calling calls known as Dutch. Some I know claim it is a language. I say it's merely an affliction.
You're a fool.
Yes, I've made a lifetime profession of it. That's why I've reached a ripe old age. Only an idiot pays attention to a fool. Now translate the placard. Is it another impost? Another beastly tax?
It is an edict from the governor, making it illegal for any resident of the colony to entertain those called Quakers on the premises. The fine is £50.
Another few words to preface may well be in order at this point. This town of Flushing that we talk of was hardly a town at all. A few clapboard houses, a tavern, a landing stage where the hardy could brave the stormy passage across Hellgate to New Amsterdam. Such was the town. As for the people, they were almost all Englishmen, refugees from the religious persecution of the old land or the bigotry of the new. They came to Flushing because of the promise of liberty of conscience, without molestation or disturbance from any magistrate. At least such was the wording of the patent granted to the town by the West India Company of Holland just a few years before. And now, the placard. They held a meeting the night the placard was hung.
It is this, or it is nothing. It is our charter, or it is nothing. It is all, or it is nothing. We have settled this wilderness, and as it is said in the Bible, we have built sheepfolds for our flocks.
Tobias Peake is the orator, a tall, spare man with a face that looks like an exclamation point in brackets.
A promise of liberty to indulge in our beliefs as we do truly believe. Now it is a case of what is given being taken. This we cannot suffer. This we cannot Permit!
Speeches! Always speeches! Stop with your speeches!
What then can we do?
Fight back!
Fight Peter Stuyvesant!
Aye, fight the devil himself, for truly they are the same. Edward Hart, our esteemed town clerk and scribbler par excellence, do you have a quill sharpened and a spot of paper not yet defamed with some further wickedness of the governor?
I have paper.
Well, then now then write as I say, and write fast, because my bile is flowing fast. Be you ready?
Aye.
Right honorable. Start it that way, no matter we may think elsewise. Huh? Right honorable, you have been pleased to send up unto us a certain prohibition or command that we should not receive or entertain any of those people called Quakers because they are supposed to be, by some, seducers of the people. Huh? For our part, we cannot condemn them in this case. Neither can we stretch out our hands against them to punish, banish, or persecute them, for we desire not to judge lest we be judged, neither to condemn lest we be condemned, but rather let every man stand and fall to his own master. Do you have that, Clerk Hart?
I have it all.
Wait now. You have the insanity to believe we dare send such a document to Peter Stuyvesant?
Do we dare not send this document? Do we dare to stand bareheaded before his wicked authority and bow and scrape and grovel every time he eats not well and issues another edict? Listen, we petition. We are free men and we petition. This remonstrance is not so much a denial of Stuyvesant's power to legislate our minds as it is an affirmation of our holy right to defy that power.
We will send the remonstrance.
They labored over the remonstrance, these people, wrote it into shape, and signed their names or their marks. The reaction of Peter Stuyvesant was normal under the circumstances.
Get me the ringleaders. Fling them into jail. Find them. Run them out of the province. Offer a reward to all who give information on those who follow the Quaker sect. Enough of these heresies. I'll have no more. Set them up an Orthodox minister and tax the inhabitants of Flushing for his keep. The English. By my soul, the Lord made the English only to test the patience of the rest of the world.
Later now, 1662. In the interim, Stuyvesant had magnanimously forgiven the town of Flushing its mutinous conduct and was busily occupied with the more pressing business of the colony, such as the importation of 250 fire buckets from Holland, the opening of the ferry between Long Island and Manhattan. But in 1662, Stuyvesant received a magistrate of the town of Jamaica.
It is my duty, Your Excellency. My duty, you understand. I do this solely because it is my duty.
And does the fact that a reward is offered for this information make your duty any the more digestible?
Oh, perish the thought.
But not the reward. Sheriff Waldron.
Your Excellency.
Our good magistrate has come with certain intelligence that should interest you, Sheriff. Tell him.
Well, now, I have heard... More than that, I know it to be an absolute fact from personal observation.
He spied on them, that's what he means.
Yes, I investigated the matter personally. In Flushing, sir, there is a man named John Baum who follows the abominable Quaker sect and holds meetings in his house every Sunday.
Baum, you say?
Aye, Baum. The spelling is B-O-W-N-E. John Baum.
What are your orders, sir?
Bring him in, of course. Here's your warrant.
Very good, sir.
The reward?
Wait on your reward. Even a vulture has the patience to wait until its victim stops twitching. Now get out. It is only an hour to mealtime. It will take me twice that time to rid myself of nausea. Go on, get out.
John, how is the baby now?
His fretting has eased a bit. He seems better.
Good.
And you, Hannah?
I feel most unwell. My head burns like a dry log.
I will fetch some broth.
No,
Yes?
Open in the name of the governor.
John.
Be quiet, Hannah.
John Bowne?
Aye?
I bear a warrant for your arrest.
On what charge?
For the holding of unlawful meetings, to preach and practice the Quaker heresy.
Is a man who sits with a sick wife and holds a sick child in unlawful meeting according to the reasoning of the governor?
Do you refuse to come peaceably?
And if I refuse?
I shall have you bound hand and foot and carry you bodily.
By your warrant, you have no such right.
Come, come. If I have no such right, I assume it.
My wife is sick.
And mine is lonely. Bound, let us not palaver as though this were some Indian trade. Do you come or shall you be taken?
I shall come. Here, Hannah, take the baby.
May the Lord walk with you, John.
Aye. And may I walk with him. Get well, my dear. I will return in time.
In New Amsterdam, Bound was held in the guardhouse near the gate to the governor's home.
Sergeant! What is it, Bound? What is it now?
When will the governor see me?
You asked me that an hour ago, and before that an hour, and all day.
I desire to be heard on the charge against me.
Well, then here's your chance. That's the governor coming up the walk now.
Your Excellency! Your Excellency!
Sergeant.
Sir?
Is someone addressing me?
It is a prisoner, sir.
What prisoner? I see nothing but a hat sitting on a head, and it prevents me from seeing more.
Your Excellency, I am John...
Sergeant, will you be good enough to explain to the source of this disembodied voice that His Excellency the Governor is normally attended by certain courtesies, the most meager of which is the common decency of a removed hat.
Yes, sir. Take your hat off when you talk to His Excellency.
I am sorry, but baring my head is an act against my conscience. All men are equal and no man is in station above another.
Sergeant, did I hear some further talk?
Well, the prisoner says he cannot bare his head because of his conscience.
Sergeant, I perceive that we are being plagued by an apparition that hungers for justice. I suggest we lock up this ghost in our deepest dungeon until I pursue further the proper procedure against discourteous phantoms. Straighten your buckler, Sergeant. It's awry.
Yes, sir.
Let us not judge Stuyvesant too quickly. Stuyvesant was altogether a man of his times, a brave fighter, an honest administrator, and a total bigot. But then, in those days, bigotry was confused with piety, and tolerance was considered an advertisement of weakness and uncertainty. Such were the times. And as I've said, Stuyvesant was a man of his time. But he was not without feeling, and soon he hailed Bound before him in his court. You remember what happened then.
Doff your hat.
Not to any man.
I said take it off.
Not by my will.
A simple way to remove a hat is to remove the head it sits upon.
The action would be yours and not mine, and so the guilt.
And you think I would not gladly take such action?
I think you would gladly take such action.
Then doff your hat.
No, that I won't do.
What is it, man? Are you stupid or stubborn?
I am neither. I am merely a man who respects God and is humble only before God. I am a friend.
Take your hat off, friend.
No.
Sheriff, rip off his hat.
Well, now, how do you feel about that, John Baum?
I feel pity and compassion and sadness. But only for you, sir. Only for you.
Your pity is not needed. And save your compassion and sadness for yourself. John Baum, how do you plead to the charge?
I have heard no charge.
Then hear it now. Sheriff, read the charge.
John Baum, you're accused of being a member of the abominable Quaker sect and of housing members of this sect under your roof in unlawful assembly. How do you plead?
I plead the charter.
The charter?
The patent granted to the town of Flushing by your predecessor, William Kieft, contained these words. The settlers are to have and to enjoy liberty of conscience, according to the custom and manner of Holland, without molestation or disturbance from any magistrate that may pretend jurisdiction over them.
Do you think I am not familiar with the wording of the charter?
I think you have overlooked it.
I overlook nothing. I am here to preserve peace and not to tolerate despicable heresies.
What is despicable about saying that one man is all other men's equal?
It is not true.
You condemn our beliefs, sir. Do you understand them?
I have no wish to.
What do we say that is so infamous? We say that a person finds God within himself, that every man and every woman is ordained at birth into a priesthood of common worship, and that the pulpit is the right of every person desiring to preach the way of the Lord. We take no oaths, sir. We oppose warfare. And we have no professional ministry. We do not doff our hats, neither to sluts nor sovereigns. It is our belief. It may well be that you believe otherwise. But that does not make your beliefs right and ours wrong. Who shall judge? Who? But him that shall welcome us all as his children in his good time.
You are threats to the peace. You rouse the rabble by your preaching on open streets, in barns, and wherever you find an audience.
We threaten no peace. All we ask is peace.
Plead to this charge, and let's have an end of this.
I plead to nothing.
You find more lenience in this court than you have a right to expect.
I will plead to nothing.
And that is your final word?
The Lord will have the final word.
There followed now a time of furious inaction. John Bound sat in his cell, his hat firmly in place. Stuyvesant matched stubbornness with stubbornness, up to a point. The first month he kept Bound in a dungeon on a diet of bread and water. Then he thought better of his strategy.
Move him from the dungeon to a room in the city hall. Feed him well. He thirsts for martyrdom, the fool does. So we shall persecute him with kindness.
Bound sat just as firm in the city hall as he had sat in the dungeon.
Oh, enough of this. I will have the poor idiot off my hands. Tell him I will remit his sentence if he but promises to leave the province. Enough of this farce.
Bound would make no such promise.
Leave his door unlocked. Let him sneak away in the night.
John Bound was in his room the next day when the guard peered through the unlocked door.
Is there no way of ridding myself of this nuisance? Send him back to Flushing. Tell him I grant him the pleasure of his family for 3 days. I warrant that will be the end of John Bound.
Still, John Bound held his ground and waited outside the city hall.
I want him off my neck. The whole town is laughing at this comedy and at me. I say it's enough. Bring John Bound to me. We'll have it out this time for all. Now then, Bound, let us talk this over in good humor and with clear sense.
I will pay no fine.
Pay nothing. Only leave the province.
That I will also not do.
What will you do?
I will stay where I am until you acknowledge the freedom of all people in this province to worship God in a manner of their own choosing.
That right is granted. to all but Quakers.
Freedom is not a thing divisible. It comes to all equally, like the air being breathed. If you deny freedom to one, you deny it to all.
That isn't true.
It is true. When the good people of Flushing sent you a remonstrance, you flung their leaders in jail. What was their treason? Nothing but a reminder of a promise already given. You persecuted me as a Quaker today. Who shall it be tomorrow? The Jews? Muslims? Who, sir?
You vex me, Brown. You've said enough.
No more than should be said.
You shall be packed off on the next ship to Holland, and good riddance.
And on whose hands shall be the guilt of my family suffers in my absence?
On yours!
No, sir, on yours. And the scar of it will haunt you the day you die. But I forgive thee.
Guard! Take this lunatic away! Send him off by the first ship, rid me of his sight! I wash my hands of him at last.
Holland, that little land of large tolerance. John Bound spoke before the Amsterdam Chamber of the Dutch West India Company. To their offer of freedom for Bound and his family in Holland, his reply was brief.
I cannot think that you, in sober earnest, believe that I would subscribe to any such thing, it being the very thing for which I rather chose freely to suffer want of the dear company of my dear wife and child, imprisonment of person, and the ruin of my estate. This I did rather than yield to such a thing as you require. Wherefore, I have this now to request for you, that the Lord will not lay this to your charge, but to give eyes to see and hearts to do justice, that you may find mercy with the Lord in the day of judgment.
This speech the chamber meditated until their chairman took paper and pen and scratched thereon a little note. John Bound took the message and returned to America. Once again, he stood before Peter Stuyvesant.
You are familiar with the contents of this message?
It was sealed when it was put into my hands.
Then let me read you a portion. Yes. It is our opinion that the consciences of men ought ever to remain free and unshackled. Let everyone be unmolested as long as he is modest, as long as his conduct in a political sense is unimpeachable, as long as he does not disturb others or oppose this government. Well now, where does that leave us?
Well, that is for you to say, sir.
Baum, I am rather a crotchety old man, and I do not pretend to be entirely convinced at the wisdom of this order. But it is an order, and as a soldier, I shall obey it. Perhaps the order is right, and what I believe is wrong. Perhaps. But this I know. You are a man of courage, and I respect you for that. And I respect the inspiration for such courage. Whatever it is in your belief that gives your spine starch and your will iron, by my soul, I like it.
It is not courage. It is faith.
Give it a dozen names. It is still a wondrous virtue. Listen, friend. We are worlds apart in our beliefs. But it is a tiny world. So tiny that two hands can stretch across it if the will is there.
The will is there. My hand on that, sir.
And mine. John Bound, in all respect, I doff my hat to you.
And the ending of the story is not here. For the Flushing Remonstrance, the courage of John Bound, are links in a chain that stretches from the day man first believed in freedom until the time, not yet, when all men will know its wonder. The Flushing Remonstrance is part of our American heritage, a heritage so enormous that it requires constant vigilance to protect and constant effort to preserve. That is why yearly, this year and every year, we set aside 1 week as Brotherhood Week, 7 days of rededication to the struggle for the establishment of a social order in which the religious ideals of brotherhood and justice shall become the standards of human relationships.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York. Now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Norman Ehrentreich of New York City.
Man has painstakingly acquired his rights, liberty of conscience, freedom of worship, equality before the law. Medicine, too, fought its bigotries and censorships to acquire the heritage we now possess. It was not many years before the Flushing Remonstrance that physicians were burned at the stake for attending women in labor. They attempted this disguised in women's clothes, masquerading as midwives. Doctors of that day wrote books on obstetrics without ever assisting at a birth. The prejudices of that day gave way but slowly to the enlightened obstetrics of our time. Only a century ago, Semmelweis was ostracized by his colleagues for washing his hands. His observation that the death rate on maternity wards attended by medical students was 4 times that on the wards where midwives were trained led him to believe that infection was being spread by the students who went without washing from autopsies to maternity patients. He reduced the death rate on these wards to 1/10 of its previous rate by asking the students to wash their hands thoroughly before attending expectant mothers. In spite of the obvious merits of his teaching, the prejudices of his colleagues made his position so untenable that he was forced to leave the hospital where he made this discovery. Whether it be the now obvious scientific right to wash one's hands or the religious right to wear one's hat, they are all part of the chain of freedom. The problem facing each individual is to determine when he must take a stand for freedom. Having made that decision, never can he say that the matter is too small for him, for the large issues of mankind are always resolved on the daily agenda of individual men.
Our eternal light drama today, The Friend and Peter Stuyvesant, was written by Irv Tunick and was presented in observance of the 300th anniversary of Flushing Remonstrance, which is being commemorated this week by the issuance of a special 3-cent stamp by the United States government. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Henry Norell, Ivor Francis, Guy Repp, Edgar Staley, Charles Webster, James Dukas, Leslie Barrett, Harvey Hayes, Abby Lewis, and Maurice Tarplin. The narrator, Roger DeCoven. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.